It is a joy to be back with you. Every time I have the opportunity to come to Saanich Baptist, it's like coming home. Because this really is my home. I went to Cadova Bay Elementary, Royal Oak Junior, and graduated from Claremont in 1975. So I've ridden these roads on my bike and hiked around this neighborhood for many, many years. Whether I've come here for a conference, sat under great teaching, or participated with you like I am today, it's always been an encouragement. It's a warm embrace that people feel when they come here, and so thank you. I think it was about 3.5, 4 years ago I was here, and Micah 6:8 was just starting to be rolled out. And now you've been walking that journey for 3 or 4 years. Is it changing your lives? Acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with your God. Today's message will not seem unfamiliar because of your walk. It has its origins in a trip I made to Guatemala in May. I have been traveling the globe, visiting all the communities that FH Global works in around the world. There's 18 countries where FH, Food for the Hungry, is active. Canada is active in 8 of those countries, 4 in Africa, 2 in Latin America, Caribbean, and 2 in Asia. It's hard to wrap your head around all that goes on in Food for the Hungry. I've been at the role 10 months, and really it's like drinking from the proverbial fire hose. It's hard to understand all the complexities, every culture we're in, the challenges that these people face as they try and move from very stuck to thriving. Personally, I've been seeking and asking the Lord for my voice, the message He has for me to share with many people as I visit many partners and potential partners across this country and around the world. In the first few months, I learned the basics. Food for the Hungry is a Canadian nonprofit organization dedicated to ending poverty, one community at a time. With partners like you, churches all over the country, Food for the Hungry Canada walks alongside some of the most vulnerable communities in some of the hardest places in the world as they seek thriving, sustainable livelihoods. Recognizing that each community faces unique challenges as well as advantages, FH Canada is committed to an integrated, holistic approach to development, informed by a biblical worldview. We help community leaders determine their priorities, whether it's agriculture, education, healthcare. Our model is distinctive in that we help communities to own their development plan, and we have an exit strategy. We want to be leaving in 10 years, moving on to another community so that they can handle, they're equipped to handle their development issues on their own going forward. But as I traveled the world, it's a little overwhelming. My first trip to Africa, we flew through Amsterdam and landed in Kigali, Rwanda. How many are familiar with the troubles of Rwanda? Seen the movies? Well, just to get me culturally oriented, our leader took us to the Genocide Museum. And I was sitting on the site where 250,000 souls were buried. The genocide happened in less than a year. Neighbor turned on neighbor, teacher turned on student. It was one of the most troubling experiences. I'm still not over it. A few months later, I went to Cambodia. You're familiar with the Khmer Rouge, Pol Pot, the killing fields? A country trying to recover from that kind of horror where, again, neighbor is pitted against neighbor. In these communities, people are living beside people who have performed atrocities against their family. And only 20 or 30 years have gone by. Just pause and reflect on that for a moment. I started to think about some of the petty grudges I hold and the cancerous effect it has on my relationships. Can you identify with some of those realities? In C.S. Lewis's Narnia series, after encountering the lion Aslan, years later, the young girl Lucy spots Aslan again. As she comes towards him, she says, "Aslan, you're bigger." But Aslan says to her, That's because you're older. A little puzzled, Lucy responds, not because you are? I am not, says Aslan. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Beloved of Saanich Baptist Church, my intent today is that you will find God bigger by the time we leave this morning. That God might be bigger in our lives, in our communities, at home and abroad. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Colossians 1, 15 to 23. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Colossians 1, starting at verse 15. Let these words just roll over you. Christ is the invisible image, is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all of creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you and me, who were once far away from God. You were with his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, held you close to himself. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard this good news, the good news that has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed God's servant to proclaim it. Amen? We were once alienated, and then we met Jesus. And it all started with a wonderful, warm, loving embrace. As God, through Jesus, brings us close to him and holds us close to his heart. That's just the beginning. Then the long journey of transformation begins. Transformation, I like how Bryant Myers describes it in his book, Walking with the Poor, a great read if you're taking notes. Bryant Myers, Walking with the Poor. Transformation is, he says, the spirit-driven process of radical change in the behaviors, attitudes, and worldviews of individuals, communities, or cultures towards living a healthy relationship with God, others, and creation. We have just read that Jesus is the creator, sustainer, and reconciler of all things on heaven and earth. If we could just, yes. Poverty is not simply an academic exercise, for the way we define poverty plays a major role in how we solve it. At Food for the Hungry, we've discovered, after working with communities around the world for over 30 years, that poverty is rooted, next slide, in broken relationships. Jesus is the one who was able to reconcile, restore, and renew all our broken connections. The connections to our Creator, the connections to our true God-imaging selves, the connections to others, and the connections to all created things. Has this been your experience? People of Saanich Baptist, have you witnessed this in your community? In the book of Romans 1:20, we read that all creation has been groaning for what is now occurring, the revealing of the sons and daughters of the living God. Think of it. The people of Rwanda, Cambodia, Burundi, Bangladesh, Victoria, Saanich, groaning in anticipation of a new birth, the kingdom of God in their midst. The call that God has on your life to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly, your neighbors are groaning for. The partnerships between Canadians from all walks of life, FH Canada, and the people from over 50 communities globally that we partner in bear witness to this hope. I believe that, like many that have gone before you, beloved, the Spirit of Christ within you has heard the cries of the poor, the vulnerable, and the lonely, and has filled you with compassion. The cries you heard have evoked a heart-filled response. Through acts of justice and mercy, you have responded in humility as you walk with God and others. Like the faith community in Colossae addressed in this scripture, Jesus is calling you, the people in vulnerable communities all over the world, and the people of FH to leave what is behind and follow him, to be his ministers of reconciliation. He has called us in the beginning. He has loved us passionately. And then he has invited us to be his friends. As I said, that's how it all begins, personal, intimate. But like the early disciples, Jesus sends us off to accomplish a mission, to announce good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to liberate the oppressed, and to cast out demonic powers in high places. He does not intend to keep us long in the safe confines of SBC, but sends us out that we might experience his life flowing through us to others. A faith-confirming experience of our own God-imaging beauty and capacity if we follow him. St. Bonaventure, a bishop and theologian in the 12th century, held that there are three books from which you learn wisdom. The first is the book of creation, for all creation declares the glory of God. The second is the books of Jesus, Old and New Testament, you call them the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, describes this incredible story. The Old Testament predicting, the New Testament telling the story of God in our midst, the Word become flesh. And the third book is the book of experience, the good news of the gospel lived out, the ongoing process of transformation, the Spirit-driven process of radical change. If we listen, obey, and then reflect. Beloved, all three books will be required as we walk together and hope to build thriving, fully alive communities. Why? Because there's pain on the journey. The pains of community lie between the joy of friendship, that conversion experience with Jesus, and the joy of giving life to others, the mission. We come together to care for each other. We are responding to the call to love the other, and the message of love is communicated in word and deed. But many people who believe in Jesus are distressed. They're lonely, frightened, fragile, physically, mentally, and emotionally disabled. They're vulnerable, and their suffering is a sign of the cross, a sign of the suffering church, but a community like yours that loves and prays and most importantly forgives is a sign of the resurrection. True community embraces friendship, those in distress, and walks patiently with the suffering, awaiting the new birth and the new life to flourish. All of us will need faith and patience on this journey of transformation with ourselves and with each other. Our mission at Food for the Hungry Canada is to end poverty one community at a time. Friends, our collective mission is revealing to others their fundamental beauty, value, and importance in the universe. Our mission is to communicate to others their fundamental beauty, value, and importance in the universe. We are called to reveal this to one another, your capacity to love, to grow, to do beautiful things, and to meet and enjoy God. This mission is both local and global. As I mentioned, this message was formed on my trip to Guatemala. I've traveled a lot, as I mentioned, and thankfully, I just don't get sick. Well, that was about to change. I had my board with me. So, you know, I'm supposed to be at my very best. We're in the highlands of Guatemala. We're in this remote village, and we're about 3 days into visiting folks on the ground, and I get traveler's diarrhea. But I don't just get, you know, the mild case. I get the kind that takes you out. So as I'm lying in my bed for 36 hours, well, between there and the toilet, I thought, well, now's a good time, Lord, for you to answer. You know, I've been asking you, what's the message? Where's my voice in all this? And for 36 hours, I was just going back and forth. That night, we drove down to Antigua, a beautiful place where we were going to do our debrief, fly out the next day. I'm starting to come around, and that evening, May 16th, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I had a dream. It's kind of like the Martin Luther King moment, right? For me, I don't have these kind of dreams. My wife will tell you, I can't remember my dreams in the morning, but this dream, I am still in the fetal position, in my hotel room at 3 o'clock in the morning, not feeling great. And in my dream, Jesus enters the room. And he says, Bernie, I have come to heal you, your family, your community, your nation, all nations. Bernie, this is your message. Get up and read Colossians 5:23. Okay, I don't get those kind of messages. So what would you do? Well, I got up. I couldn't believe this had just happened to me. I get over to Colossians. I can't remember what Colossians 1:15 to 23 says. And I read that passage. And it all became clear. The troubles in Rwanda, the troubles in Cambodia, the troubles that you're experiencing in your community, the uprisings in Mexico. I traveled in Bangladesh, 170 million on a plot of land the size of Vancouver Island. There's tremendous issues facing our planet and our world. This message is for all people, all times, local and global. For Jesus quoted this verse out of Isaiah when he began his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. My chains are gone." He's asking you and I to continue this life-giving mission. Next slide. But we can't do this. That's the former president of FH Canada hugging a leader in Burundi. We can't do it lest we begin to believe that your calling is to give and to receive. Jesus is sending you out, and us at FH, and our global friends, he is sending us out to do the impossible, people. This life-giving mission of transmitting his life, his love, to others by his power is impossible for you to do on your own. All Christian communities are called to do impossible things, building grace, love-filled communities, bringing healing, reconciliation, and hope to global First Nations people, to the people of Rwanda and Cambodia. But this can only be done if communities of people are poor and humble. To walk humbly with your God, surrendered and dependent, and letting the life of God fill you and flow through you to others. It's about walking with, the next slide, it's about walking with the poor, not doing it for them. It's about mutual transformation. See, people who are poor seem to break down the barriers of power and wealth and ability and capacity and pride. Those of us that live in countries of affluence, political power, and wealth, well, we can often go to those who have needs with the attitude of a savior. But something happens to us along the way. The people that we go to help reveal to us that we need help, that we have our own poverty and our own vulnerability. And that, friends, is frightening indeed. A poor, vulnerable person has the mysterious power. In weakness, they are able to open the hardened heart and reveal to us the source of living water within us. The tiny hand of a fearless child living in a vulnerable community has the power to slip through the bars of the prison of hardness around the hardened heart of a wealthy Canadian. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us that he is hidden in the face of the poor. In fact, he says he is the poor. You see, poverty is not a lack of material goods. Such a narrow definition will never lead us to discover the healing power of Jesus that we read in Colossians 1. Anything preventing us from being the ministers of this all-encompassing reconciliation, that is poverty. Next slide. I know we're on a tight time schedule here, so I need to wrap up so we can get the next group in. I'd like to close with a short 4-minute video. The video was filmed at a graduation ceremony. Remember, we walk with communities and they graduate in Bafokala, Uganda. It was the final stop of that 3-country tour I was on in Africa. It tells the story of mutual transformation between the people of Bafokala and their partners at Capilano Church in North Vancouver. I have seen with my eyes the glory of the Lord. People fully alive in Jesus, for Jesus, by Jesus. Let's walk. I was there. It was my first graduation. I was still rolling over in my mind before the Lord whether I should take on this role. What do you think I did? Just in closing, I just want to let you know as a gift from us to you, we're going to leave you a few books of When Helping Hurts. It really explains the theology and ethos by a brilliant man on the work of FH. I think the work that you're desiring to do. I'll leave some for the staff, some in your library so you can read it. And my daughter Jennifer, who was the first person to work for FH, and I will be at the back corner at the table at the end of the service. We'd love to talk to you about it. We have child sponsorships available to you folks. You could walk with a child from Burundi from now until their community graduates in 8 or 9 years from now. So if you'd like to talk to us about that, we'll be at the back. Thanks so much.